Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Fulfill your destiny. Now help me preach to another person. Say, find your path. Fulfill your destiny. Thank you, Father. Let your word comfort like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven, and let your children be truly fed with the very words that come from your mouth in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together and bless the Lord this morning. If you are grateful to be alive, give him praise. Is that the best that you can do? Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now, listen to me, and I want you to please pay attention for the few minutes that we have in this first service. And when we come back for our second service, I'll be ministering on the theme of today's service, the battle is the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But this morning, permit me to bug you a bit by telling you how a man who was officially retired found his purpose in God and came out of retirement into the plan of God. Listen to me, that guy, as at this time in that story, had run away from an opportunity. He ran away from Harvard School. He ran away from good times. It's just like leaving Lagos and moving to Republic of Chad. That guy was finished. That guy was done. He married out of boredom. He married because there was nobody else to marry. It was not a question of, is she the will of God? It was a question of, she was available and I married her. And I don't know, there are people like that who find themselves in such situations. You can't beat your chest and say, oh, you know, I was praying and then God showed me on a mountain three angels and they brought me an envelope and I opened the envelope and I found the name Olaide. No. Not everybody's going to get that opportunity to see your name in a vision. Sometimes stuff happens. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes stuff happens. You just wake up today, you have a job, and then the next day you are fired. You just, things happen. I woke up one and they called me to say, look, young man, your father is dead. Nobody applies. I don't think God told anybody you are going to the world for just 42 years. Somebody smoking Indian hemp like my landlord when I was in school, and he told me his father didn't die until 102 years, and he's looking forward to replicating the same feat. My dad didn't smoke, my dad didn't drink, but he didn't hit 70. So sometimes there are controversies in destiny. There are things that happen that make us ask God why. But God says, I would rather that you find your path. Say, for no man knows the time that is allocated to him. You can try so hard. You can have all the dietary plans. You can do all the weight watching, belly watching, and fasting and praying just to keep yourself in shape. But your time is your time. Come on, say amen. I say your time is your time. If you're excited to be alive, you're going to be excited to die. That is the most painful thing. The devil can't understand why we say we have the life of God and yet we are so scared of death. Come on, bring it on. We have the life of God in us. And that's why in those days in our old churches, we would sing those kind of songs, because we knew that our lives did not end with breathing. I remember in those days in our Pentecostal assembly, we would sing a song like, I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the spirit of the Son of God. I've got the life of God. You sing that song and then we break into a frenzy. We didn't have a keyboard, but we had some Igbo brethren. There was a way they clapped. There was a way they danced. It was so contagious. There's just this thing about when you see in the north, then when you see Igbo brethren dancing with an Hausa brother and with a Yoruba brother, that is what the devil is trying to rob us of. In those days, it didn't matter where you came from. In fact, it was even fun for you to say, I have an Hausa friend, I have an Igbo friend, I have an Efi friend. But right now, you say, hey, everybody's on. What's that your name? Usman. Usman, I suspect you. This guy, as at this time in his life, was just waiting to die. 80 years. I don't know of any man who is 80 years and is thinking anything serious. I mean, even if they give you 100 million, how much meat do you want to eat? The my mentor, Reverend Wale, said, when I was poor, I didn't have money to buy meat. I didn't have money to eat what I wanted. Then I started getting some money, and at 43, the doctor said, you need to reduce your meat. You need to, don't eat bokoto. Don't eat, what are those things rich people eat? Don't eat shewu. You got to go green. They start telling you about things like, what the heck is this, man? I waited for this moment. I waited for this moment, man. I mean, like, I got to eat. I said, no. You can't take alcohol. You can't eat goat cow leg. You can't eat isiewu. I say, you can't eat ice cream. You can't take burger. You can't take shawarma. You can't say, enjoy your yondam. Just give me 2 days to enjoy myself. For tomorrow we die. Let me enjoy. When you get to heaven, there will be no shawarma. I got to warn you. There's not going to be shawarma. There's not going to be burger. All those things you like here, my brother, is bread and butter, bread and fish. Better get used to it. Get used to it. And for those of you who don't eat fish, well, God help you, brother. Just get some tea. Take some tea bags along when going, so that you can be drinking tea. Because I'm not even sure they've got tea there. But at least I know there's a river, so there's probably going to be fish. Now, listen, in spite of the challenge that Moses had, in spite of the fact that his life was ended, he had his back up against the wall, but he was not a lazy man. Listen to me, God never calls lazy people. The only calling that God gives to a lazy man is to work. Go and get a job. Go and get a job. Have you ever noticed that those that seems they are so busy are the ones God is giving more work to? You don't know. The reward for work is what? More work. Why does your boss give you more work? Because he knows that you have shown aptitude. You've shown that you have the capacity to do it. A lazy man never hears the call of God. When God called that guy, you see, it was not actually a call. He had been chosen from his mother's womb. But you see, there's a time for calling, divine calling. There's a time for commissioning. There's a time that the call becomes activated. You start having premonitions. You start having dreams. You start praying, and you find yourself on the pulpit and you are preaching. I say, what is this? I bind devil. You bind devil. You know, sometimes you are listening to a pastor preach and you are like seeing points he's not getting. Hey, we are coming for you. We are coming. Don't worry. Don't be in a hurry. You will preach. You will preach. One day you will ask, is it time again? You say, it's time to preach. You know, then when you just have to preach once, you give them your best shot. Now you have to preach for the rest of your life. They say, look, the stage is yours. Just preach. Sorry, can somebody preach today? They say, no, it's you. You're the hand of God is upon you. The thing about the call and the commissioning is that most times the commissioning happens when people are not expecting it. Come on, are you still here? That guy was taking care of his sheep, doing the usual, a regular day. Mama, it was a regular day. Just bath, wear your clothes. You are going to the shop. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just a regular day. There was, when he was praying that morning, he katabaya. God didn't say anything. Why would God set me up? Because if you had told me while I was praying that today is the day, my son, hey Kaduba, I have given you 7 angels to go with you today because you are going to manifest. My brother, I will not take the sheep out that morning. I need to focus. I dress like a man of God and be walking towards the mountain of God slowly, because the angels could be anywhere. So I need to be sure I'm not missing nothing. You know, I'm just here because God said to me this morning that today is the day of encounter. So I beg, no eating today. God allowed that boy to eat that morning. He even asked for extra food and then 2 cups of tea, no fasting, no prayer. I know you like to corner God with your fasting, but this day Moses ate breakfast and took extra. Then he was walking slowly, licking his lips, and then he saw something. That which you see is an orchestration of the divine. It's not something you can cook up. It's not something you can work out. It's not something you can arrange. Listen to me. God puts the greatest anointings on men who are falling flat on their face. He puts the greatest anointing on men who have no other choice. He puts the greatest anointing on men with bad records. I'm not asking you to be bad, but I'm telling you, if bad chooses you, God can see. Oh my God. I know you didn't meet the qualification. I know pastor doesn't like you. I know that you are not among those that are very spiritual. Yeah. We know you are not very spiritual. But listen to me. What do you expect a man that they said to his mom was raising him and told him, you are going to be a prince. You are going to be a judge. What do you expect that boy who grew up and wanted to defend his nation and he did it in the wrong way, and even his own nation blamed him? What do you expect a boy who thought that there was something special about him, that I am not in the palace carelessly. God put me here. He was the only Israeli that lived in the palace as a prince. It cannot be a coincidence that I wake up and you find yourself in Harvard. It cannot be a coincidence that without any orchestration of the flesh, sir, you wake up one night, you are in Jaws. You wake up another night, you are in Lagos. Before you know it, you are married. Before you know it, you have a child. When did we start? We have two children already. All those Mr. Beast and everything. The conversation changed. Your wife said, okay, so we need to choose another school. I don't like that other school. We need to choose another school. When did we start? And if God blesses you, and instead of just giving you a baby, you start with triplets, then you know that the kingdom of God has come into your house. People ask you, say, Joy, with this your small body, how do you carry? They say it's triplets. Say, that's what we see, Amo. And then people see husband, they say, well done. Say, bro, God bless you. You think they are just praying for you. They are greeting you that, Ekun, this guy is a lion. He's a lion of the tribe of Judah. He's very strong. Look at what he did to our sister. Triplets. By the time Moses was trying in the flesh to understand his calling, he made a mistake and he took a man's life. The issue was not that he killed an Egyptian. The issue was that he had blood on his hands. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, you are sharing your testimony in church and you are telling people that I killed somebody before, we are fighting. It's not my fight. I just got involved. The guy now died in my hand. You now say what? You say you are giving your life. You cannot give your life to Christ. Go and sit at the back. Where are you coming from? Go and sit down. What's the name of the person? Which local? I know that brother. You are the one that. You cannot stay in this church. I remove your name from the book of life. You cannot stay. You say you ask the people that were the family members of that man that died. It's not the same story they are saying. No. For Moses to have run, it had become a national issue that a prince had misused his power and had taken the life of another Egyptian. In fact, that prince is not a true prince. So his matter was complicated. But Moses did not start out trying to be a prince. He was responding to the birth pangs of destiny. There's a warrior on your inside. There's a deliverer on your inside. He had no mentor. He had no spiritual friend to guide him. So he tried to learn on his own. He tried to step out on his own. And he took a man's life. So when you judge yourself, God is laughing. Because God found a man like you before. His name was Moses. Don't forget, God's most powerful anointing rests on those who have done terrible things. People who have done abortions. People who have killed. People who found themselves in situations that they had to compromise. People like David, who had the power to take lives, and he took it. And took the lives of his most trusted men. God, those are the people that God finds. Do you know that when this guy got into the city or the town where he met his wife, he also met another quarrel? Are you with me? When he ran, got to that well, he met some people. You see, there's something about your destiny that is always attracting trouble. You see, and if you look around, there is something about, there's something God is saying, but you are not interpreting it well. Oh, are you still with me? The guy got involved in a first quarrel. The guy got involved in a first quarrel and killed a man. He got involved in a second quarrel, found a wife. Ijaodola. So I just want to say Ijaodola. Ijaodola. Who told you Ijaodola? Somebody fought and found a wife. He fought, found a wife. David fought, found a wife. That was God's favor. He said that findeth a wife. A good thing. God calls good thing. That same word good is the one in the creation when God made all this and said it was very good. That's wife. I didn't say she can pray, because there are some people that can pray, but they are not wives. I didn't say she can quote Bible. There are some people that can quote Bible, but they are not, they are prayer partners, they are not wives. God did not call the husband a good thing. He called the wife. That means there was no description for her. So they used thing. There was no word in English. There was no word in our human vocabulary to describe what a real wife is. So they said good thing. It's not describable. A woman that opens the door of favor over her husband. That's what a good thing is. I'll come back to that one that day. If you get married to a man and doors begin to shut, there's something wrong. We need to trigger that door of favor. Something, somebody is locking up here. God does not call a lazy man. By the time that guy got into that space, he helped the woman. And how many of you know that women, you if you help them, you are nice to them. They ask you, what's your name? What's your number? You're going to school and you saw her by the road and it was raining. So, are you going to Unilag? He said, can I drop you off? And I said, so what's your name? What department are you? That's my area. Let's see and have lunch after the. Then you go to Yamoria and then you eat amala. If you don't know, you don't know. You eat amala. You fought a battle. Came out with spoils of war. Came out with a wife. Some of you are not married because you are not willing to fight. Oreb was known as the mountain of God. Oreb is a place of encounters. Oreb is that mountain. It's a spiritual location where you have encounters. You may not be given to encounters, but when you come to the perimeter of Oreb, your spirit will start responding to supernatural encounters. Your eyes open. You start seeing things like your spiritual eyes just become activated. There's something about Oreb. You might have been doing business around there, because you see there's something about where business is done and where God is. God is not usually far from the marketplace. That guy led his sheep to that place and he was leading them around the mountain. Because I don't need you around the mountain. I need you on top of the mountain. So this guy that had blood in his hands, this guy that slept and woke up every day with the thought that I have killed a man, I have killed somebody's husband, I have taken the life of somebody's father. He woke up that morning doing his usual business. And this day, he went, his business took him to Oreb. Be sensitive. You might even be at Oreb right now. And as he stood there, observation. Don't be in a hurry. God is saying something to you. Observe. He said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Don't just pray. Watch before you pray. When you watch with your spiritual eyes, there are certain things God will put in your heart. There are certain thoughts and imaginations God will put in your mind. Those are the transactions God wants you to bring to the place of prayer. The secret to effective praying. Watch. Pray. Don't come with an agenda. Come seeking his own agenda. As he came that morning, he never bargained for what he was. He had never seen an angel. He had never heard the voice of God. How can a man with blood on his hands, who had to marry the only woman who was available, he didn't even have the luxury of choice. It was the girl who he saved from the headsmen that went back home to tell her dad. And the dad said, let him come for lunch. Go about jail. Very good man. We don't see men around here. Young man, you like my daughter? You like my daughter? Yeah. It's not a no. You have no home. You have no family. You have no money. You have nothing. Brother, I'm giving you a chance to start your life again. Do you like my daughter? I would like it. Instantly, the love will come out. They always say, you don't realize that she's even kind of tall, you know. She's tall. And she's not bad, you know. She's kind of daughter you can send to the well in those days was the business center. Then you ask her, say, sorry, what was that your name again? Say, I'm Debbie. Say, I'm Debbie. Not Deborah. I say, no, I'm Debbie. Hey, I'm Mose. My brothers in the church call me Brother Moses, but you call me Mose. Hey, Mose. Since you're Debbie, then I'm Mose. Deb and Mose, you know. Wedding card, Deb and Mose. All of a sudden, the warfare began to resign. He began to look around like, do you have a comb here? Then he tries to comb his hair and brush his beard. All of a sudden, there's an inclination towards carnality. There's an inclination towards deliberate dressing up deliberately because we might be meeting Debbie today. Debbie might be coming around. Debbie might just be coming around, brother. You go, get ready. Don't be careless. Don't be careless. They collect people's wife. Oh. Got to be ready. Got to be determined. Don't just see she'll say yes. Be ready. All of a sudden, the battle stopped. It was not a battle for the heart of a girl. You see, this guy was always pursuing something. But it was not really about what he was pursuing. It was inclination in his heart to first of all give him rest so that God can gain his attention. Everything going on in your life is programmed, is planned to get you to a particular spot. If you abort the program now, you miss it. And when he saw God, I'm just on the first three lines of my message. I've not really. You see, when he saw God, the word Oreb means a mountain, but in the original translation, it means glowing heat. Glowing heat. That's the place of God's presence, the place of an encounter. Do you know there are still people alive today who work in banks, who work in the police force, who see angels, who behold the glory of God, and they still dress up and go out normally? They don't make noise. They are not pastors. They are nothing. But they have encounters with God. If they tell you, we ordain them. This guy had never been in church. You see, the challenge of a man without a spiritual father is the challenge you also saw with Samson, who had nobody as anointed as he was, and he struggled. It's easy for you to just make your mind, Samson was falling with my father. My brother, if you have the kind of anointing Samson had, if you have half of it, you just look at this building, carry it, put on your shoulder and be strolling. Just carry this building. Just use it to. And believe me, it was not something like muscles. If he had muscles, it would not have been a surprise. So Samson would have looked someone like myself. Like this one, are you sure this one is eating today? And he just carries the gate. And say, I'm coming. I'll bring your gate back. I won't use her. Ah. Oh boy, like play like, bring this gate back. Oh, he said, I said they come. But Samson had no covering. Samson had no father. Samson was exposed. So sometimes you have to be very careful when you judge people. You don't know where they are coming from. Some of them had to deal with the fact that there was nobody they could relate with that can understand what they are even talking about. When you tell somebody that every morning when you wake up, there are seven angels in your room. You've been a pastor for 21 years. You've not seen a feather before. Feather. Not forget about angel. Just see feather. Even if the feather of your chicken, the next company, you didn't see nothing. The feather of your chicken, you don't see anything. When even the chickens in the next company are making noise, you don't hear. Say kokoroko in the 5 a.m. You will not remember because you don't pray. Oreb is glowing it. It's where God brings your carnality and begins to burn it. It's an invitation to an encounter. Oreb is not just, and you see, we have not even come to Oreb anymore. We have come to Mount Zion. Oh, Mount Zion is not just a mountain, it's a city. It's a city of light. It's a city where you find the just man made perfect, and those of us who have been perfected, we are all on the same street. Ah, hallelujah. So Paul is not greater than I am. Oh, come on now. Paul is not greater than you. Paul is rooting for you. Because without you, even Paul is not complete. Hallelujah. Now, listen to me. In that scripture, where did he find the glowing fire? Is that verse 3? Check verse 3. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of what? Now, you see the word bush. You normally want to assume it's an African terminology, but this is in the Bible. Bush, not forest. Bush. I told you, God is most likely to be an African. Bush. Maybe Nigerian, in fact. If you have never been to a bush, you can't understand this verse. The white man doesn't understand this one. He said, in a bush. You see, God many times will use symbols to depict and picture your life to you. And the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. The word bush means wild and uncultivated. The word that is wild and what? Uncultivated. We have not touched this one. This one is growing wild. It's a wild ox. It needs to be tamed. He's gifted. He has potential, but he's wild. He's a prophet. In the days to come, he will stretch his rod and the seas will part. But right now, he doesn't even know it. So he's wild. He lives anyhow. He sleeps anyhow. He drinks anyhow. He does whatever it feels like. He is wild. So we need to put the fire on this one. I wish I was talking to somebody now. Come on. He said, you see, when you talk about the bush, no one goes there. Except you have something funny to do. Nobody goes to the bush. Around the bush, you have wild animals. You have some animals. That's where they like. Every time you want to develop an area, every time you want to send wild animals, you clear the bush. The moment you clear the bush there, they move back. Take them in their natural habitat, they will come after you. But if you clear the bush, they move. What do you have around here? A bush is a picture of neglect. When that which is meant to be tended has been abandoned. Yeah. I don't know. I wish I was preaching somebody right now. It's the picture of a man that God has chosen, but neglected. In this mountain of God, what am I doing? What is this wildness, uncultivated land doing side by side in the mountain of God? How possible is it for an uncultivated destiny to abide around the mountain of God and yet nothing is happening to that land? How can you be in church so close, yet it seems that nothing is happening to me? And it seems that every time I shout amen, I shout hallelujah, but God wants to bless somebody, he jumps over me and goes to the next person. What is this mystery of a wild bush by the mountain of God? God prepares the best for the last. There is no one that stays long enough that he abandons. Stay with me as, oh my God, I don't know, man. Oh boy. You see, what is this struggle between the flesh and the spirit, between the bush and the mountain? Why do I feel spiritual today and I feel carnal tomorrow? It's the mystery between a wild bush side by side, the presence of God. Why do I feel ready for my destiny today? And tomorrow when I get into the interview hall, I feel like a fish out of the water. I can't even remember my middle name. Say, young man, can we meet you? I'm here. Well, I'm here. You don't need to meet me. I'm here. Have you ever been in an interview and you kept knocking your grammar? You knew what you wanted to say, but somehow something was happening to you. The way you normally gossip is not the way you talk in the interview. There's something happening now. Say, you are trying so hard to impress, and then your ideas begin to boom, boom, boom. And he said, actually, what I was trying to say is, don't worry. If they mark you down because of that, they are not serious. Because they too are once in your shoes. Don't let anybody bobo you. By the time you get that job, you now realize that the people that interviewed you, that the people that put their leg on the table and they are drinking tea, they don't know anything. But the bank said, or the company said, go and interview. So they come. Yeah, can we meet you? It's a lie. You will soon see. Then they would have forgotten, but you will remember their facial expressions that day. That's not exactly what we expected. We are looking for somebody that has mastered the bell curve. That has, the person doesn't know it. The person talking about it doesn't know it. There is such a thing as feeling prepared for your destiny, and then you are faced with blood on your hands, and you are faced with a marriage you didn't plan for, and you are faced with, before you knew it, you had Geshom, the son of Moses, Geshom, you already have a baby. Somehow, you are just there. You know, it seems life is happening to you. You can't really explain why things are happening the way they are happening, but stuff is going on. Why? I mean, there's no divine input. What is this wild bush doing? And this is a prophetic message. You got to hear me with your spirit. Doing beside the presence of God. Why is the presence of God not intervening? And Moses said, when he saw that the bush was not being consumed. Next verse, quickly. I will now, what? Turn aside. So he was going in this direction with the sheep. Then he saw something. This is not a regular occurrence in this part of the mountain. Was it the presence of God that was in that bush? Was it the presence of God? Talk to me. When he saw that thing afar off, was it the presence of God? But God did not say anything. God waited for his response. God waited for his calculations. God wanted to see what he would do. If I give you a teaser, what do you do with it? I know you need a big encounter, but can we start with something small? Some of those easily despised encounters. When you stay in your room alone and you pray, and after 1 hour, 2 hours, the only thing you came out with was peace. And you say, God, is this all you got? Peace? We've got a major crisis going on, and all you give me is peace? All you're telling me is that I will handle it? You need to handle it now. You are going through a big storm in your life. You can't even tell people half your story. They can't handle it. Where do you want to start from? They can't handle it. He said, I will turn aside and see this great sight. Why is this bush not burning? Next verse. Can I also say to you that the bush speaks of unfulfilled destinies, unfulfilled assignments? But you see, when the Lord is ready to use you, The first thing it does, that area of weakness in your life, it puts the fire there. Come on, say amen. I say when God is ready to use you, that area of your life where you are struggling, he will put his fire there. Jacob and Israel abiding side by side. Jacob, carnality. Israel, a prince with God, abiding together. Not because God cannot take away Jacob, but God will have Israel remember where he took him from. And that's why you will find out in scriptures, sometimes God will call him, oh Jacob. And sometimes he will say, oh Israel. One person, flesh, spirit. The one that contends and steals the birthright. The one that got it in the place of intercession. Flesh, spirit, white bush, Oreb. There is something about your assignments. Every time God is trying to do something major in your life, please hear me in the spirit. There's something about your assignment. Everywhere you turn, it seems to attract you. You may not be hearing a voice, just like Moses saw a bush and it attracted him. Do you know what I'm saying? He saw a bush. He didn't, no angel, no nothing, but he saw it and the thing was saying, come, come. And he responded. He was responding. He wasn't too sure what he was going to see here, but he responded. He didn't know what he was going. He took the job. He didn't know what was going to be there. He went for that meeting. He didn't know what was going to be there. He just had a sensation. Let me just go for that prayer meeting. No expectation, but let me just show up. And he showed up, not knowing what God will do. Just like I went in for that meeting in that uncompleted building many years ago, precisely 1993. And I remember I was in that uncompleted classroom. It was the last classroom in that school. And we were there, we were praying. And then Bro Bidemi came out suddenly from nowhere. And he said, the Lord just spoke to me. And that's why I'm here this morning. That there are two people in this place that he wants to place his hands on. Because in the future, they are going to be his instruments to extend the frontiers of the kingdom. Listen to me. When I follow blindly. I didn't know how it was going to happen. Somewhere in my mind, I believe I'm there. It's okay. No, you can, if you like, don't. I mean, in my mind, I just believed I was there. Now, I know Bro Bidemi is highly anointed. I know he's highly anointed. So I know God spoke. Even if it was the flesh, I believe. And then he went around. He told everybody, including SS3 students. He was in SS1. But he was so revered that SS3 students used to doff their hats for him. And then he told everybody to line up and he said, Father, is this the one? And he would touch their head. Is this the one? You touch their head. He would touch that. And he touched somebody 2 steps ahead of me. Pa! The person just dressed. I said, thank you, Father. That's number one. Then he came to me and he touched. My brother, people have been falling under anointing since 1840. Some have even forgotten how many times. But when you have an encounter, you don't forget. The day God meets with you, you don't forget. It burns, it will carve it into your soul. He's not here today, but it's happening. But that prophetic word came in an abandoned building. It is not the location that counts. It is what he says. As he turned, my time is up. My time is up. Oh my God. I've not even gotten to the heart of this message. Oh my, we need to do something about this. And God called unto him and said, Moses, Moses. And he answered, there I am. Listen to me. God rarely speaks until he has your attention. God doesn't like to repeat himself. Once he gets your attention, then he begins to speak. Because he knows that now he has separated you from every distraction. The thing that many of us carry about and say, God is not speaking. If you take out the distractions, you will hear him clearly. Go to verse 5. God said to him, let me just close here. I have quite a bit, but I got to close. So we'll go straight into second service. He said, draw not near hither. What was the first thing God told him not to do? He said, don't come near. Huh? Don't come near. The second thing was what? Put off your, take off those shoes. Your shoes represent that part of your assignment and your destiny that accumulates debt. Debt speaks, sand speaks of carnality. We say, for the serpent was cursed to feed on the dust of the earth. That your feet was prepared for the gospel of Christ, but that part of your assignment is where you can easily accumulate debt. That is why, as a minister of God, that's why, as a child of God, you must not discount the place of consecrations and waiting upon the Lord. He said, take off your shoes. This one you have been wearing is not the one we need now. Take it off. He said, where you are standing is what? Is what? Is what? Is holy. It's not holy because of you. It's holy because of God standing there. The first thing I want to say to you here very quickly, that when God places a call upon a man's life, that call is first of all to a separation. First of all to a consecration. Where God begins to talk to you on the specifics, the unique things about that assignment. This is a very important phase in the life of every man. This is an important phase in the life of everyone. The call to separation. Jesus called the disciples first to sit with him, to be with him, before he sent them off that they might preach the gospel. The first call is a call to what? It's a call to what? It's a call to what? Many want to encounter God, but they want to do it on their own terms. But he says, don't come near. If you want to do it on your own terms, don't come near. If you want to follow me the way you like, don't come near. If you feel like come church day, you like, don't come near. If you feel like being holy today and unholy tomorrow, don't come near. If you want to come with me, I'm going to change the dynamics of your life. I'm going to change the orchestrations of your life. I'm going to turn you around and send you back into the place you don't want to go. Moses, you want to stay with me? Take off those shoes. Take off those shoes. Take off those things you have prepared for yourself to protect yourself in case God fails. Take off those things that are your secret plan Bs. You say God said and you believe it and that settles it. But you have something somewhere. You have an account somewhere. You've got a boyfriend somewhere. You've got somebody you can always call to give you some extra change. Moses, take off your shoes. Where we are going, there will be no salary. You got to depend on me. You let me fix you. I know you've got blood on your hands, but can you let me fix you? It's going to take some time, but I can do it. Can you let me fix you? Can you let me bring out a prophetic ministry out of your pain? Can you let me bring out your prophetic ministry out of your sufferings? Can you let me heal you and bring you into a place of relevance? Despite all the pains you experienced when you lost your dad at a very young age, when you lost your mom and you couldn't handle it, can you let me handle this and bring out a ministry out of your pain? Say, take off your shoes. Take off your shoes. Say, the place that you are standing is holy. I don't want you to think about the shoes. I don't want to think about the environment. I want you to think about the holiness of this moment. I want you to think about the sacredness of this moment. I want you to think about the fact that what happens here after now depends on your response. I want you, Moses, to look into my eyes. That which you have waited for. That which made you take the life of a man. That which made you run. That which made you marry. Everything that made you go up and down looking for satisfaction. God said, look at me. This is your moment. Take off your shoes. This ground is now holy. This ground is now holy. It might have been the place you came to last week for business, but this ground is touched by God. This ground is now holy. We've taken over the territory. We've taken over your life. We've taken over the bush. We've taken over your failures. We've taken over your pain. We've taken over your past disappointment. Moses, this ground, this life is now holy. You are separated, Moses. To be holy is to be separated. To be holy is to be called to a separate place. Is to be chosen. We have placed our mandate upon you. We will send you back to the place where you fell. We will send you back to the place where you wept. We will send you back to the place where you cried. We will send you back to that place where they said no chance. But you won't be going back the way you came. You'll be going back with a rod in your hands. You'll be going back with authority. You'll be going back with unusual anointings. You'll be going back without the power of your economy, but with the force of heaven. You'll be going back to rewrite the wrongs that have been done in your families. You'll be going back. You'll be going back. You'll become untouchable. Rise to your feet. You'll become untouchable. Not because of who you are. Not because of your past. But because of the hand of God over your life. I wish somebody will join me and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. In 1 minute, join me and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. This ground is holy ground. 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 Take over. Take over. Take over. Take over the pain. Take over the shame. Take over our past failures. Take over. Take over. Take over. Take over. Take over. Comforter. You are the comforter. You are the Spirit of God. I see you touching my life. Oh, Holy Ghost. You are the Spirit of God. I see you touching my life. Oh, Holy Ghost, hey, Comforter, make my life comfortable. Listen, when that guy walked into that place that morning, it was just another regular day. It was just another regular day. Give me, I think it might be in chapter 3, the end of chapter 4, where it talked about the rod became the rod of God. Quickly, let me check that. I think it should be chapter 4, where God, after that encounter, get me that verse if you can very quickly. It could be the third chapter ending or chapter 4. He came there that morning. Once you get it, let me know. Chapter 4, verse 2. Look at this. We'll be done in the next. No. Go after. Way down. Way down. Quickly. Somebody help them. Verse 3. Go to verse 3, quickly. No. It was the end of that encounter. You need to maybe Google it or something. The rod of God. Google the rod of God. You are going to see that scripture. KJV. I want you to say with me, when he came that morning, like a regular day, he didn't know what was going to happen to him. But when he left, what? Verse 20. Go to verse 20. Now, the rod that he brought there, God asked him to drop it. But after that encounter, the same rod, the same pain, the same failure, the same thing that reminded him that he was supposed to be a prince and now he became a shepherd. Look at it. And he took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass and returned to the land of Egypt. That was the place he ran away from. And Moses took what? The rod of God. Come on, say the rod of God. He took the rod of God in his hand. When I left here, this was the only thing I could run away with. I'm coming back. Come on, they said there shall be a returning. Come on, say there shall be a returning. Come on, say there shall be a returning. I will come back, second service, and if the Lord allows me, we are going to pray. We are going to pray because some of you, you used your rod, you turned it to chewing stick. Some of you use your rod, you use it for other things. But today we are going to recover that mandate. Today we are going to recover that assignment. Today we are going to recover that ministry. Today we are going to recover your life back. Come on, say recover. 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 Come on, say with faith, recover. Come on, say recover. Come on, say recover. Come on, say recover. Yega da bakatari makasata yera da badana.